be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. On this New Year's Day, the title of our message is, We Can Hardly Wait. Based on our gospel reading, just read to you from Luke 2, especially this verse. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. I encourage you to open up your bulletin, find the yellow insert, and follow along if you care to with the sermon outline as we consider our theme, We Can Hardly Wait. Well, can you name one activity that we all have in common, but probably none of us enjoy? There could be a number of choices, but one at the top of the list has to be waiting. We wait at red lights. We wait at the border crossing. We wait at doctor's offices. We wait for test results. We wait at the airport. We wait at the post office. We wait at the store checkout line. Men, this could get me in trouble. No guts, no glory. Men, we wait for our wives as they get ready at the bathroom mirror. Well, there's even a country western song that I love, which is entitled Waiting on a Woman. But women, you wait for your husbands to finish the game, and the next game, and the next game on television. Parents and grandparents, you wait for the children to do what you asked them to do 4 days ago. Waiting. It isn't easy, but often it's necessary. And we're all waiting for God in one way or another, aren't we? We're waiting for Him to act. We're waiting for Him to heal someone, to change something. And quite often, as we wait, His timing is not our timing. With the result that while we wait, we are tempted to turn waiting into something else, into something less. Some would change waiting into passivity. Well, there's nothing I can do about it, so I might as well wait. But waiting for God is not like sitting in a dark movie theater waiting for the picture to begin. This kind of waiting on God can just be a pious excuse for spiritual laziness. No, waiting for God is like waiting for the arrival of an honored guest. There are preparations to be made. And as we wait, as God's people, we seek to be obedient, to do what we know God wants us to do what is in our power to do while we wait for God's final solution. Others exchange waiting for useless, wasteful action. Oh, I'm tired of waiting on God, so I'm going to turn to more of an immediate source of hope. I'll turn to drugs. I'll turn to alcohol, to unhealthy relationships, to a crazy busyness in life, to keep myself so busy I can't pause, I can't think, I can't pray, anything to give me a false or temporary hope or relief. And still others, tired of waiting for God, may create their own God. While discussing the first commandment, oh, what is that first commandment? The Lord says, you shall have no other gods before me. While discussing that commandment, Martin Luther asked the question, what is a god? Luther said, a god is whatever we fear, love, and trust above anything else. A god is what we look to for our highest good. So if we're tired on waiting on God to give us what we really need, we look to our homemade gods, like our possessions, money, human relationships, sports, work, personal status or reputation, even religious activities. But these homemade and false gods can't save us. They can't deliver us. They soon become burdens upon us, and they don't deliver any real or lasting hope. My friends, I'm here to give you some good news on this first day of the new year. Who'd have funked it? 2012? I'm here today to tell you that our Lord Jesus Christ is the only true and lasting hope this old world's got. And it was for Him that two people in today's gospel reading waited. These two waiting people, did you catch their names? Simeon. We'll call him Don Tweedy. Anna. Erna. Simeon and Anna, waiting and serving in hope. Who were they and why were they waiting? Listen to some key verses from Luke 2. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, waiting for the consolation of Israel. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God and he said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, for my own eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared for all people. And later in Luke 2, it says, and there was also in the temple Anna. She was of great age, had lived with the husband for 7 years. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God night and day. And coming into the temple, at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. Simeon. Simeon, a devout and faithful man, was looking for and awaiting the promised Messiah, whose title was the Consolation of Israel. Now, tradition suggests he was an old man, but Luke's text never tells us his age. We just learn that God revealed to him he would not die till he saw the Lord's Messiah with his own eyes. Now, Simeon holds the baby Jesus. Could you imagine that? How would you have liked to have been there? As he held the baby Jesus in his own arms, he pronounces him to be the Lord's salvation. And then he says, Lord, now I'm ready. Now I'm ready to depart in peace. Anna, for that time, was a woman of great age, well over 80 years. She was a widow that could always be seen around the temple doing some kind of activity. You know, every church has a number of Annas. We have a few of them around here every day of the week. Anna Gretchen, Anna Ilsa, they're around doing something. Anna was like that. As soon as she sees Jesus in Simeon's arms, she began to tell anyone who would listen that Jerusalem's Redeemer had arrived. The time of waiting was over. But as Simeon and Anna waited, they weren't passive. They weren't lazy. They would never bear the title old and useless. They served others in need. They prayed. They worshiped God. They taught the younger generation about God and how He kept their promises. And God came. And God came in that babe, not as they expected. Who knows exactly what they were expecting? But surely not a frail little baby boy. And poor, dirt poor parents who came to the Jerusalem temple for his naming ceremony and the rites of circumcision. But it didn't take long for both Simeon and Anna to learn that this baby indeed was the long-awaited Messiah. Yet you wonder if Simeon and Anna said to one another and to anybody else, "This is not at all what we expected." My friends, God comes to us today, but often not the way we expect Him to. We may pray, "God, come and bring me inner peace." And He comes, but with another challenge to make us grow in faith. We may pray, "Lord God, come and bring healing." And He comes, but it's at the graveside of our loved one with the words, "I am the resurrection and the life." We pray, "God, come and change this situation." And He comes, but doesn't change the situation, but changes us in a way that's far better than we could ever imagine. Now, here's an important question for us in this new year. Can we recognize His coming at the cross as well as at the cradle? Can we recognize His coming at Mount Calvary as well as in the Bethlehem manger? That is to say, can we recognize God's coming in times of pain and hardship as well as in times of peace and comfort and Christmas joy? Simeon did. He said, "I have seen and I have held God's salvation, and now I am ready to die in peace, whatever this old sinful world throws my way." And Simeon also said to Mary, the young baby's mama, these words in Luke 2:35, "This son of yours will pierce your soul." That is to say, Jesus' suffering and death and crucifixion for the sins of the world will bring you, Mother Mary, much pain to your mama's heart. My friends, to you, Jesus comes in this new year and in every moment of your life. And He doesn't just come as a peaceful babe on Christmas Day, but also as the Savior who knows your pain and knows your sorrow. And He will be with you through thick and thin the other 364 days of the year as well. Can we recognize His coming to us today? He comes especially to us in the proclamation of His word and the sharing of the holy meal of the Lord's Supper. In the teaching and the preaching of His word, He comes to you today and He says to you, "You are a sinner, but I am your Savior. And listen to the plans I have for you." In His true body and blood in Holy Communion, He comes to you and says, "I am truly present in, with, and under this bread and wine to give you my precious body and blood that was shed upon that cross, to forgive your sins, to give you strength and hope, to give you a foretaste of the heaven that's coming, the heaven for which you are waiting." Can we serve Him while we wait? Simeon and Anna did. They knew that this Lord Jesus claimed their lives and bought their lives with His own blood. They knew that this Jesus had come to purchase them from the power of sin and death and the devil. And they dedicated their lives to the day they were taken to glory, to proclaim Jesus as Messiah and Savior to everyone that they meet. More than a few times, as I visit with members and visitors of all ages, but particularly some of our saints who have a few more years than the rest of us. They say, Pastor, why am I still around? Why does God not take me home? Could it be Anna and Simeon? And to all of us, whatever age we are, He has a calling for us to make a difference in someone's life we may not even realize. To that day, we get to the shores of heaven. And Jesus takes us, our friend takes us by the hand who's in heaven and says, Jesus, it's because of this person, this Anna, this Simeon, this Eldon, this Barbara, this Ben, that I am here with you forever. Today I challenge you to ask your Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, how would you have me serve you as I wait? Before the service starts every Sunday, the elders gather in the sacristy, and no, we're not playing cards. We're praying for you, and we're praying for that long-winded preacher, and we're praying for the whole service. This morning, Henry, the fine elder who read the lessons, had a most magnificent prayer for us. That in this new year, will it be this year when Jesus comes back? Will it be soon when He takes us to be with Him? Until that time, we pray, Lord, how can we serve You as we wait? How can we be like Simeon and Anna? Lord, we can pray, in what area of my life do You want me to be obedient to You in this new year? Lord, I want to make some changes in my life in 2012. Lord, I am willing to do what You want me to do. You know, that sounds like a wonderful New Year's resolution to me. In a beautiful painting by the Italian painter Giotto, we see a depiction of this gospel account of Mary and Joseph bringing the baby and Jesus into the temple and placing the baby in the arms of Simeon. In Giotto's painting entitled The Presentation in the Temple, Simeon is holding the baby Jesus, his lips moving behind his flowing beard with the famous words, Lord, now let Your servant depart in peace. Giotto knows his Simeon. But Giotto also knows his babies. Because the baby Jesus in this painting is far from resting comfortably in the arms of this scary stranger. He's reacting like all little babies when they're held by scary strangers. His eyes are narrowed and dark, looking at Simeon with alarm. His tiny arms are reaching out for his mama Mary. Giotto knows his babies, but he also knows the deep truth of this moment. Because as the baby looks at Simeon but reaches to his mother Mary, we observe that in the painting, Simeon holds the baby Jesus right above the top of the temple altar. That place where animal sacrifices are made for the sins of the people. Giotto declares in this painting that this baby is part of God's plan from the very beginning. He is the eternal sacrifice for the sins of all people. The wait is over, Giotto's painting declares. He has arrived. My friends, we wait in a world of sin and death. And Jesus comes to us today. He comes not just in the peace of Christmas Day, but also in the pains and challenges of every other day of the year. And one day, as Henry prayed, one day He will come again at the world's end. And He will bring with Him an end to sickness, an end to death, and the beginning of eternal joys in heaven. Come, Lord Jesus, come! We can hardly wait. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now we worship our Lord with His offering.